Okay, don't miss next Tuesday's program with David Oates. We're going to go through in a two-hour session. And this is extraordinary. It's unprecedented in his 38 years of doing reverse speech. We're going to pull up and play all of the mentions of three primary words, keywords: war, Armageddon, and December.
You're transporting one AGH.
Ah. We're transporting what? That was Erica's Broadcastify.
Yeah,
she monitors
the
paramedics.
Yeah.
No, it's okay.
Carting off to the hospital.
Yes, they're transporting. Now, what I want to do is make sure you don't miss this. I don't ever do predictions, prophecies, forecasts, but to see this much in reverse speech, this is the universal subconscious speaking, is quite unique and quite remarkable, and it all points to something big happening in December. Now, let me just quickly dovetail that with what Dick Allgaier has been telling me for a long time, that many, many viewing sessions have come up with, viewers, have come up with December as a pivotal month in some major regard. All right? That's just a little program teaser for next Tuesday. Welcome back, you Broadcastify freak, you.
Thank you. Very nice to be back.
You should turn it
off
when you
think
go
I
to
ever
sleep,
left.
Though. No, you don't. No, you monitor. She watches. And I think those of you out there, we'd like to hear from you if you are using Broadcastify to monitor your local paramedic and fire department dispatches to see what you're hearing in your area in terms of calls. It has dramatically increased in Erica's area, and we're getting not just simple things anymore. These are a whole myriad of unknown medical emergencies. They're not giving the details out. But this whole issue of medical emergencies has really gone in a very big surge. So, and that's in the last,
well,
what, 6 months?
I stumbled across that it was a graph charting 14 days, prior 14 days of activity.
Right.
You know, for all of the streams that Broadcastify broadcasts. And you could see over the course of 14 days, there was a big spike,
right,
in calls. Now, this is police and fire, EMS. And that was consistent with what I was hearing. So it seemed to be a trend in general, nationwide.
And vaccidents appearing to certainly still be part of the landscape, if not growing.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Which is not surprising.
No, it isn't. Here are a couple of other quick notes. I think all of you understand now the basic mechanisms by which Western civilization is being destroyed, all at the hands of its alleged governments. These are not governments of, by, and for the people at all. These are instigators of communism and Bolshevism and Zionism, forced into the Western white Christian culture. Just understand that. You all get that. All right, here's a quick story. I'm not going to read the story, but headline. UK, this is the national government, to advise that schoolboys be allowed to dress as girls going to school. Now, this is just another nail in the coffin of white Western Christian culture and civilization. The war on civilization is intensifying all the time. You see what they're doing? They're gender confusing the whole next generation. Well, go ahead and dress up as girls if you identify as a girl today. That's fine. This is poison. It's unsurvivable. Not, these people,
well,
it's this
anything
not
goes.
Survive it. That's right.
There's no standards. There's no morals. There's no ethics. There's no accountability. It's a free-for-all.
Now, this whole woke culture is certainly part and parcel of what I just mentioned. Over here, Disney, and God bless Walt Disney, he fought hard against Zionism when he was building his studio, and he created so much goodness for this culture. And look what they have done to his name. He's got to be turning over in his grave, maybe pinwheeling. Disney admits woke strategy, their pivot to being woke, has adversely impacted the company. Adversely impacted? They've lost $750 billion on major motion picture woke flops in the last year. $750 billion because of their woke policy on movies. All right, it's not adversely impacting the company. It is mortally wounding the company. Because what's left of people who remember the good days are boycotting by not attending these Disney outrageous woke perversions of classics that are being remade, new films that are being remade. And yeah, it's good to see. That's one of the few good things I've seen, that they're openly bitching now and complaining about how they've been adversely impacted by the reaction, the kickback against their woke policies. So good.
Good.
All right, now we're going to move to more direct hit. These are issues of health, and we do health here. These are issues of mental health, okay? Don't forget that. The Parola variant continues to spread rapidly. Now, that's a shithitthefan.com story. I don't know where they picked it up. But the Parola, it is Parola, isn't it? They got it right, I think.
Yeah, that's one of them, yeah.
Yeah. That variant is one of three that is kind of making the rounds now, and they're saying that SHTF is a pretty responsible website. I have no complaints about them. But the Parola variant, just remember, it is not included in the new shot.
No, the new shot is one of the...
All of them. Those are old news. The new shot has nothing to do with the latest and greatest strains. It misses everything.
Right. The new shot covers, what was it, XBB
1.2, 2.1,
one of those.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So that hasn't been circulating in probably a year, maybe?
I think so. These are all old, dead issues. And this new shot, which the makers, Moderna and Pfizer, want to have you think of as not a booster, but a new vax, like a new annual vax. I think they should have stayed with booster myself. But
well, even so, if that's the logic, would you take last year's flu shot and hope it protects you against this year's?
No. I sent you a story on FluVax. What was it yesterday? Children.
Oh, was
FluVax?
There something in FluVax killing kids?
Yes.
Was that it?
Yes. All right. Here's the Parola, and I forgot what Parola means. That's not the one that means furnace, is it? Or is it?
No, that was, I'm drawing a blank.
Oh, don't worry.
Formax?
Parola means, I can't remember what it means. Yes, it was Formax, correct. That means furnace, as in oven, as in cremation. All right.
Yeah.
The mainstream media is continuing to report on the rapid spreading of the Parola variant. Parola, or BA.2.86, is the third most prevalent COVID strain in the United States. And although there may be concerns among the control system that the new monovalent vaccines do not offer any protection against it, it doesn't. We don't know what's in this new shot, because it's not geared to take out the most common current variants, which are actually rather established now. They're nothing new. Been around.
Well, so, and all these antibodies that people are generating are really a detriment. antibodies are not protecting against these strains. You know, ideally, with a viral infection, you want a T-cell mediated response. Well, that's not going to happen with people who are vaxxed. That part of the immune system has gone haywire. And the antibodies are just creating a different set of disease conditions. You know, you're getting antibody antigen complexes that are thickening the blood.
Right.
In some cases, you are getting autoimmune conditions. The autoimmune thing is really starting to rear its head now.
Right, it is. We should also keep in mind, and this is overlooked just because we don't have enough time, but anyone who has been injected, and unfortunately, an awful lot of people who haven't been injected, but who have been hanging around the injected and being shed upon, are now manifesting the same blood profile. Dark blue, purple, and sludge. Your heart cannot pump sludge. It was designed to pump liquid. And this blood actually clots and coagulates while it's being drawn for a blood run. You're having your blood tested. It'll often clot in the needle on the way out.
We've seen that now with several instances.
Yes. So just remember that many of these heart attacks are being brought about by sludge blood, which fatigue the heart to the extent that the heart just can't deal with it. And it quits. It stops. That's one way the heart stops. We've been through this. There are many other ways that can be the same result by virtue of the spike and bioelectric autonomic nervous system impedance, impediments. It's crazy. All right. Now, I wish I had those three names. Parola?
Well, Parola, that's... I think it... Doesn't it mean penis?
It means something rather crude. And
yes.
I just wonder why they name these things the way they do. And we've talked about this in the past. They're not just grabbing a name out of a basket. This is all thought out.
Yeah.
I don't know what game they're playing.
I would say so.
They're playing it. Okay. Now, I'm going to read that later. We have a very interesting story that I've been pushing for several weeks now, and it has to do with an experiment. In fact, a number of experiments, repeated experiments by a scientist named John Calhoun, John B. Calhoun. He worked for the National Institutes of Health, Mental Health, NIMH, and he did these experiments using mice. And it's called simply Universe 25. And the 25 has to do with the number of times he repeated the exact same experiment by confining mice in a small area, keeping them crushed together, basically. And in 25 similar, identical experiments, the results were the same. The mice all died 25 times. So I believe that's why he named it Universe 25. Now, we're going to play a little video here which explains it. We've talked about it. I've posted the video before. It's up in guests under our names as well. But this is very important to understand the 15-minute city and the studying that those behind the 15-minute city obviously put into John B. Calhoun's work, Universe 25. They know what's going to happen when they cram people together. It's just like what happened to the mice. They know it. So let's take a listen to this and learn. It's very interesting, and I think it cannot be overstated in terms of its importance and how it's being used by the controllers with their game plan to take care of the remainder after the genocide has run most of its course. That may be about 10-15% of the population. So here's a little, this is a vintage video. It was made in, I think, the late 70s, early 80s. And it's about John B. Calhoun's Universe 25. It's only about 8 minutes long.
Brooke? Dr. John Calhoun at the National Institute of Health in Washington, D.C., has attempted to answer this question. In a unique experiment that took years to complete, Dr. Calhoun used white mice to study population growth and its effects on individual behavior. In addition to his renowned research papers, he has recorded some of these observations on film. In this 16-cell mouse habitat, utopian conditions of nutrition, comfort, and housing were provided for a potential population of over 3,000 mice.
Okay, when you heard habitat, 16-cell, it's like a cube, and there are 16 openings to 16 little hamster rooms, bedrooms. That's where the mice lived. Think high-rise, all right? Think collective living. That's what this is about.
Yet, in spite of ideal conditions, the mouse population met with catastrophe. Individuals were kept track of by color markings on their fur. Factors which normally control population growth, such as predation by owls or cats, were eliminated.
These mice were given absolutely the very best nutrition, the best food that they would choose to keep them as healthy as possible. Any predators were ruled out. They were safe and secure and getting the best of the best. Okay.
Transmissible disease was also reduced. In effect, the mouse universe simulated the present situation of a continually expanding population of humans. To see how Dr. Calhoun's mouse universe grew, we'll use the familiar population graph again. Within the first 100 days, the mice went through the period Dr. Calhoun called strive. This was a period of adjustment. Territories were established and nests were made. The next period lasted about 250 days. The population of the mice doubled every 60 days. This was called the exploit period. The use of resources became unequal. Although each living unit was identical in structure and opportunities, more food and water was consumed in some areas. As the population increased, most mice associated eating and drinking with the presence of others, and crowding developed in certain units.
Don't think of mouse population increase as being reproductive in human terms. We're talking about crowding people together. It's kind of reproduction in quotes. You're producing more people, but it's artificial. They're being pushed in together. In the mouse experiments, it was traditional reproduction.
Period consisting of 300 days found the population of mice leveling off. This was called the equilibrium period. Dr. Calhoun noticed that the newer generations of young were inhibited, since most space was already socially defined. At this time, some unusual behavior became noticeable. Violence became prevalent. Excess males strived for acceptance, were rejected, and withdrew. Huddling together, they would exhibit brief flurries of violence among themselves. The effects of violence became increasingly visible. Certain individuals became targets of repeated attack. These individuals would have badly chewed and scarred tails. Other young mice growing into adulthood exhibited an even different type of behavior. Dr. Calhoun called these individuals the beautiful ones. Their time was devoted solely to grooming, eating, and sleeping.
Narcissism. constantly grooming, constantly watching their cell phones, constantly being on their computers, and doing next to nothing else. The beautiful ones.
They never involve themselves with others, engaged in sex, nor would they fight. All appeared as a beautiful exhibit of the species, with keen, alert eyes and a healthy, well-kept body. These mice, however, could not cope with unusual stimuli. Though they looked inquisitive, they were, in fact, very stupid. Dr. Calhoun called the last period the die phase, leading the population into extinction. Although the mouse utopia could house 3,000, the population began to decline in 2200. In the shift from the equilibrium to the die phase, each animal became less aware of associates, despite all animals being pushed closer together. Dr. Calhoun concluded that the mice could not effectively deal with the repeated contact of so many individuals. The evidence of violence increased to the point where most individuals had had their tails bitten to some degree. Eventually, the entire mouse population perished. Dr. Calhoun's experiment is a classic example of a typical population and its growth when left unchecked. Research in this area continues under his supervision. Currently, Dr. James Hill has taken the basics of the Calhoun experiment to study social behavior even more closely. In his experiment, rats are used instead of mice. Healthy individuals are selected to start the population. The rats are anesthetized so that Dr. Hill can perform a minor operation necessary to the success of his experiments. A small electromagnetic encapsulated device is implanted into every rat.
They chipped the rats.
This small unit enables sensing devices to keep track of the movement and position of each individual in the population. After surgery, the rats are introduced to their new multi-leveled home, all at the same time. The rats immediately begin to explore their new environment prior to organizing territories and nesting. Dr. Hill will trace how individuals move about in crowded situations. This movement is followed by tubular sensing devices. Every time a rat enters or passes through a tube, the unit detects and registers its presence. This constant movement is monitored by computer. Nesting activity is also studied. Dr. Hill has observed that the larger the population, the less care a mother gives to her nest and young. The same type of individuals that resulted in the mouse utopia are also emerging in the rat population. There are aggressives, asocials, and outcasts. Though these studies use animals, the findings about population growth and individual behavior are being closely compared to our own human population. Like all populations that have existed on this planet, many researchers believe that the human race has reached a crucial point in the exploit phase, a point where important decisions must be made and careful planning implemented if we are to survive. The study of plant and animal populations helps us to make decisions about the future of our human population so that we may maintain our own balance with nature.
Well, that's not going to happen. The 15-minute city is very much keyed to the outcome of these experiments, both with the mice and Mr. Calhoun and his followers who carried it out with rats. Remember, Calhoun did this 25 times in a row, and the results were absolutely identical. So they know a lot about putting people in groups in small areas, in controlled areas. This is really advanced science now. And especially when you have so many diversions, and they'll make sure these people get good food, whatever they want, they'll do that. They're not going to be starving in these 15-minute cities. No, they're going to follow this Universe 25. And I think you're going to see it. Ultimately, these universal cities, 15-minute cities from the universal mouse studies, are going to be end of the line for a lot of people. They're going to have a very high mortality rate after a certain period of time. Anyhow, I thought that was interesting.
No, it is interesting. It's almost like, you know, the population can't exceed a certain number in a given space. You know, right. It just begins to self-destruct or limit itself naturally.
You're right. It will. Yep.
But these 15-minute cities, you know, the fact that they're going to be just saturated with these electromagnetic frequencies, I don't see anybody living in that kind of environment that's going to be even remotely healthy.
How could they be?
I mean, that's not a natural way to live anyway. You know, it's an open-air prison.
Right.
But they're going to dress it up so that it's attractive, and people will initially want to live in these places.
You got it.
And I think just like boiling a frog, you know, once you get them in there, you start taking things away little by little.
No, it's called satiation. You give them everything they want, and then they begin to break down sociologically, individually. It's too much. They'll make these very appealing. And by the way, they're not going to build new cities and call them a 15-minute city. They're going to carve these out of existing urban areas. All right?
And they're already underway in some places,
yes.
Right?
We looked at two or three. We were looking into this the other day. Let's say San Jose, California, I think was one. And they'll just take a 20-mile radius, whatever it is, and that'll be the 15-minute city. And they'll demarket as that, and anyone who lives in there will have to agree to do X, Y, and Z. But in exchange, they'll have free room, free board, free universal basic income, etc. They'll be left in that little environment. They can leave, but they'll come back because that's home. That's what people do when they have a home. And now we have many, many young people going back to live with their parents. Many.
Oh, that's been happening for a long time.
Yes, and it's getting to be an enormous change of culture. It's changing everything. They no longer want to buy homes. They're now becoming like the mice, lackadaisical about life. They're sitting back. They're not proactive. They're reactive, and they're just useless. No job, nothing. So,
it's sad because they don't. Many of them don't exhibit a lot of motivation or ambition, and so when you really don't have a purpose, you know, you don't have any goals. You don't see a future for yourself. You become apathetic.
I've told this story before. I was in the market one time, and the checker was some guy around 25, and some friend of his was going through the line. And his friend was talking to him about, we ought to do this and that. And then something that would take a couple of years to do, like, I forget what it was, start a business or do something. And the guy said, why? The checker to this guy. And the guy said, what do you mean? He says, we're all going to be dead by the time we're 30. So why? Why do anything? But that's
I heard that from young kids myself, younger people. In that age bracket, 20s, 30s, they don't really foresee themselves living, I don't know, to 80. I think in general, they think that, maybe 50.
Oh, Henry Kissinger made it to 100. He died today. They don't even think like
that.
Yeah.
Mm.
Gone, but not forgotten. And he changed his tune toward the end, as I mentioned last hour. He began to say things that were rather counter to the globalist menu. And one was wondering if maybe he was hastened to his exit because of that. I mean, it was that different, what he was saying.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, anything is possible now. Anything. Okay. So all of you, when you hear 15-minute city, just think of this Universe 25 experiment, first with mice and then with rats, and you'll get the idea. I think you already do have it now.
Well, and let's not forget that a big part of that is going to be just constant surveillance.
Well, they chipped them in the 70s.
Yeah, that's right.
So, right under the skin. They don't need to chip them anymore. They have other ways of doing it. People are carrying their chips around in their hands. You know, you all know that
for now.
Already.
Yep.
That's right. It can be tracked anytime.
Did you happen to post that video on the phone? The guy that did the experiment with the walking around with a phone?
No. You better send it to me again.
Okay.
That's
important. It was a 3-minute video, and this man had two phones. One he kept on but not connected to a Wi-Fi network, and the other one he actually put on airplane mode and took a ride around his city. And at the end of the day, he was able to hook it up to a computer and have the computer relay where he went in great detail.
Oh, that, we talked about it, and I don't think I got the actual email. I remember the conversation. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
yes.
and in fact, when the phone was in airplane mode, it was actually gathering more data.
So you're putting the phone into basically a pause, right? It's not supposed to be doing anything. It's not turned off. It's in airplane mode. I don't fly, so I don't know. But that phone in the airplane mode, as you explained it to me when we were talking about this, as you just said, actually recorded and transmitted more data in terms of the movement and the behaviors of the phone owner.
Yeah,
what he did, all of it.
It's very obvious a tracking device, and the phone even knew when the guy got in and out of his car.
That's crazy. Yeah, I don't think I got it. I may have, but it needs to go up. We'll post it.
Okay.
For sure. These phones, when they succeeded in addicting billions of people to something they hold in their hand and can't live without, and then gave them social media to somehow, in some way, I guess, present themselves as having worth because they're on social media, not necessarily influencers, but you get the idea. When they did that, they won. That was game over, in my view. That was the end. That was total capitulation. That people didn't know, they didn't need to have anything injected under their skin or implanted in any way. They were carrying around everything willingly. And do remember that when you're out in a group of people and they all have these cell phones and they're all on, those cell phones act as a repeater for any data that they want to submit to the crowd. They'll repeat information back to one another, the phones, without you even knowing it. It's like a movable, portable network of phones, and the transmitters, repeaters. So it's
very
smart.
Well, and then they know who you've been in the vicinity of.
Absolutely. Who you've talked to, how long you've talked to them about. And don't think for a minute that they're not recording any and all the telephone calls, and certainly any and all of the text messaging that's going on. It's all being recorded.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a file on most everyone that's, you know, God only knows how big now and how thorough. It's really crazy.
Well, the smart devices that people now have in their homes, you know, smart refrigerators, just about everything, right?
It's all part of the matrix.
Those are all surveillance devices.
All of it. Yep. So you're not free. You have no privacy. And you soon will own nothing. And you're going to be overjoyed by all of it. That's the trick they're going to pull on you. I'm free. I don't have debts. Yeah, you have a mortgage? Oh, you have to pay utilities? Oh. No, here in the 15-minute city, we don't have to pay anything. We get free money, the best food, nice places to live, endless cell phone and computer opportunities, whatever we want to do. They're absolutely useless. So you have to think, what is the end goal? of the 15-minute city, if not to wean off a lot of people from this planet. They're going to take them down. They're going to die young. They're going to be sickly. God, it's crazy what's going on here. It's another way
to
control.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, most are completely oblivious to it.
And they don't want to hear it on top of that. You crazy conspiracy crap. Get out of here.
You know, well, and some of the younger generation doesn't see anything wrong with this.
No, because they know nothing else. They know only what they're being told and what they've experienced. That is, as I keep saying, that's their reality. And it emanates from the cell phone, tablet, computer platform. It's constantly with them. That reality that they live in is an artificial construct.
Unfortunately, yeah.
All right, let's go to our people file here, our COVID Chronicles, and try and keep up to date on what's being done to people. You're never going to find it on the mainstream media. No way. All right, we've got a lot on, still sitting back on November 6th, if you want to go there.
All right. You pick. I don't know which ones we've done.
All right. Okay, let me find here. Hold on. Well, here's a crowd pleaser. Erectile dysfunction after being vaxxed.
Okay. Right?
Talk about birth control. This is very, very short, and it's only one item. I'm curious if there is any evidence of the vax causing ED in men. It's been an issue in my relationship since he got the shots, plural. But he's also on blood pressure medication as well, so I wasn't completely sure. He's only 38.
Mm.
So, yes, when you cull a population, you undercut the reproductive dynamic of it. And so there's a lot going on in that regard. All right. There's
We know the lipid nanoparticles have an affinity for women's ovaries, and the spike protein has an affinity for men's testicles. So.
And we know what Dr. Arne Burkhardt, the man cannot be honored and recognized too much, found in autopsies of men who had been injected, young men in their 20s, men in their 70s. Mm. No sperm found at all in the testes. Wall-to-wall spike protein found instead. Okay?
Yep.
There you go. All right. November 6th, about halfway down, is we got four about head pressure, headaches. That's
okay.
Another very important topic. Why don't you go ahead with the first one there?
Okay. This was somebody from, she's vax injured, in the neurology group. After 2.5 years, my severe head pressure came back, exactly the same as I had straight after the vaccine. I wake up from hugs, anxiety, adrenaline rush that starts on my neck and follows to the brain, and then my head starts to hit, starting from the temples. I think she means hurt. Pain is stabbing, burning electricity. It's not explainable. It feels like it's poison or some sort of alien devil pain. Very scary, causes panic attacks. When I had it 2.5 years ago, nothing helped. I tried acupuncture, ozone therapy, kinesiology, osteopathy, massage, swimming, all sorts of meds. I did 2 MRIs. I spent 2 weeks in the hospital. I couldn't work for 2 months. It was a harsh journey. I am scared I will have to go through it one more time. It's very, very sad what happened to us, and no one can help. Especially hard to cope with it mentally and psychologically. As you see other people live their lives to the fullest, traveling, working, raising kids, while you are barely surviving. I wonder why God sends us all these harsh experiences. I'm sorry I had to complain, as I feel very unhappy, suicidal.
And the response to that uses, I guess, the person's name. It's public here. We'll just say, blank, you know I am here for you. I have the extreme severe head pressure as well. I'm bedbound. I pray daily for relief for myself and you and others. I know. I now have severe pain in my bones and ears, tingling, tinnitus. This is a nightmare for so many. Many prayers, my friend. Please pray for me as well. I hate that I took 2 Moderna shots, my worst mistake of my life. I didn't realize all the different things you tried. You know you can reach out to me anytime. This is awful that we are all suffering with no solutions. That's a pretty good summary statement. It is horrible, and they are all suffering from a multitude of things with no solutions. All right, next person says, praying for you. I'm always here for you too, and I'm so very sorry. I understand your suffering and being bedbound. I am too. And another one says, my dear such and such, why God sent us all these health challenges. What does he want to say? Are we being punished for something? That's too heavy a cross for me to carry. I am losing strength, faith, hope. Every door I knock on is locked. It's just getting harder and harder, not easier. Go ahead and finish this one.
One of the previous ones says, thank you so much. It has been my biggest regret. Original one says, my healthy friends turn their backs. They don't want a friend who is sick. Another one says, yes, it was the biggest mistake in my life also. My ears hurt too. The oddest thing, constantly. I hate that I sound like a hypochondriac, and I've gotten worse with nervous system and neurological issues.
Go ahead. Next one.
I don't understand at all why us. Another one, it's my biggest regret as well. What I've come to realize is what has happened to us is evil. God is good, and there is no evidence in him. There is so much evilness and wickedness in the hearts of those who gave these vaccines and those who keep pushing them and those who turn their backs on us. And right, someone asked, what are your symptoms? Yeah. Are they as scary?
Well, the number of things that poster tried and had no success with, we don't want to discourage people, but don't fall into the endless routine of getting test after test after test, especially if it's destroying your family's wealth. I mean, most families have a certain capital bedrock upon which they have lived and built, and it's their future. And part of this whole evil, the satanic evil, beyond satanic, is to break people financially with endless tests. That's what they do. So do your research, and if you listen here, you'll hear a lot of it. But these tests are not doing anything for people except telling them, well, yes, you do have pressure in your head. We don't know what caused it. The hell they don't. They just don't want to say it. So be careful about having your entire family's wealth wiped out. Just be careful. I don't know what to tell you by way of any kind of remediation, because I don't honestly think there is any for most of these things. It's symptomatically, perhaps, some to a degree, but no matter how many tests they run, they're not going to reverse this. It's not going to happen. All right, here's the last post in this little head pressure group. They are so scary, but a bit different than yours. The head pressure is very debilitating. I can't sit up for long periods of time at all. My head is so heavy, and my neck feels like it can't support my head. We've heard that before, haven't we? People unable to hold their head up. I have horrible sensations through the neck and the head. I have vibrations in my head, pains also like electric shock, severe pain, and vision loss. I understand how it's hard to explain how it all really feels. I suffer with deep, severe pain from head to toe and gut issues as well. I barely eat, and I'm losing tons of weight. Go ahead.
I have weakness so bad that it's hard to breathe and sleep apnea at night where my oxygen has dropped into the 70s. I think this also goes along with the pressure in my brain. I have breathing issues, and it's hard to take a full breath. I worsen with anything I do, and by anything, I mean just walking a few steps or even talking to someone on the phone. I do feel like I'm fighting for my life every day. I know you and all of us feel the same. So the head pressure thing is a common complaint in a lot of these people. And, you know, what's causing it? Maybe intracranial hypertension. You know, if the spike has gone into the brain, if the lipid nanoparticles are in there, that's going to cause the brain to become inflamed.
Well, microclotting, too, will cause pressure
microclotting,
to build up in the capillaries.
Yep.
Sure.
And that you know, that intracranial hypertension is can be quite dangerous. You know, that can lead to, the brain herniation?
Yes. Pretty freaky stuff. That's where the brain actually comes out of the cranial cavity and starts moving down into the spinal column, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically game over if that happens.
That's right. All right, here's a quick post. We're going to go down to post-vax neuropathy. There's three there. It's a little lower. Another.
Yep, I see it.
Down. There's a first one, though, I want to do. This is about a nurse dying. Nurse dies suddenly. All right. The title of this little post says, "This isn't my post. It was posted by a nurse in a travel nurse group I'm in." All right, so one nurse posting about other nurses. "Traveling nurses now are making $5,000 a week and up." Okay, so you see why this is. Some of them work these jobs even though they know it's terrible for them and they're running a grave risk of being spiked and worse.
Hard to turn down money like that, right?
$240,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it says, "Our charge nurse died today. Mid-shift, went slumped over in the chair. I found her and started chest compressions immediately and moved her to an empty ICU bed. And we worked on her for almost 45 minutes before she was pronounced. Of note, I've been on this assignment almost a year in May, and she preceded me."
Precepted me.
What the hell is precepted?
Kind of showed you the ropes.
All right. Whatever. And she helped train me my first few days, and we got along great. After I asked if I could take my lunch and just decompress for a bit, and the manager said, "Why, you are just a traveler. You barely knew her. We won't have time for lunches today. I'll cover for you for a few minutes, and you can eat. Even though I'm grieving, I've known that woman for 12 years. I wanted so badly to say something, but I held my tongue because I knew she was grieving as well. Am I wrong for asking for 30 minutes to eat and just process what has just happened? Everyone else had this, was around 15:45, and she expired at 12:11, and I had helped cover everyone else for everyone else while they said goodbye and processed all of this. So there's a death right on the job. Died suddenly.
Boy.
Boom. Gone." Okay, go ahead. We got three neuropathies.
Okay. I need some guidance from those of you that have been on this nightmare journey for a while. I hit my 2-year mark July 28, 2023, after suffering a Pfizer injury. My neuropathy seems to be getting worse and has spread. I have a hard time figuring out my puzzle piece to getting better. I know many of you have mastered this and are healing. I would so very much appreciate hearing what has helped you. Thank you. Okay, first reply. Where did you originally have it, and where has it spread to? Have you caught a virus or something which has caused it to spread? Are you taking any anti-inflammatory supplements? She answers, hands and feet and up my right leg. Now it's in the back.
All right, the second one. Have you seen a neurologist and had a nerve conduction test? IVIG isn't available. I'm not sure what this is. These are Australian.
IVIG, it's a therapy for autoimmune conditions, intravenous immune gamma globulin. And for some reason, introducing gamma globulin into these people calms down this overactive immune system.
Right. Well, this person says Australia is just a flat-out no for IVIG. Next person says, I would find another neurologist and push for it. That is heartbreaking to hear. And I guess, is this the first person? I don't know. I've had it all over my entire... Another one. I've had it all over my entire body. It feels like it is finally healing now. My mind-body work has changed it, and my mind set around what's possible since IVIG is not an option here. All right, she mentions B12 shots she's doing as well.
Augmented NAC also helped.
Good. All right.
And B12.
Go ahead.
Was your B12 low? I learned that I have MTHFR, so I don't absorb B12 properly. I have to get the methylated shots or else take the methylated oral. I don't know if it was low when all this began. Original author says, I also am missing one of those MTHFR, but my levels were normal range. When I take Bs, my nerves go nuts. I don't get it.
All right. There's just one more little section there. There's not much in it. Go ahead and finish it if you want.
Mine was diagnosed as small fiber neuropathy. I had some relief from low-dose naltrexone, but not a cure. I'm still waiting on that. Original author says, I was on low-dose naltrexone 13 months, and it did help. Low-dose naltrexone masked the issue for sure, but it stopped working for me.
Symptomatic relief, some.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you're in horrendous pain...
You're going to take whatever you can get.
Yeah. Last comment.
One.
Are you in the low-dose naltrexone group? I heard some say it stopped working, but they skipped days, or they started back to baseline with it, or some people went up a dose. But they said it started back working once they found that sweet spot again. So a lot of trial and error to find
something to
ameliorate these intractable conditions.
That's all we're going to do.
And there's no... standard protocol that's going to work for everybody.
No. That particular little string was from the neuropathy group, which has now been opened up to an everything group. And the people with neuropathic issues were very articulate. It was one of the most well-spoken groups. And I guess it still is.
Yeah, I was rather impressed at, how tenacious and driven some of them are, in spite of being in sometimes really debilitating, horrendous pain.
Exactly. Okay, that's it for tonight. Excellent job. I think we put some provocative material out there, hopefully, so people can think and help connect the dots a little better.
Yep. Good.
Good night.
All right. Good night, everyone.
We'll be right back with another hour. Very interesting guest coming up. Don't miss this. It's something I think many of you will remember. It happened 40 years ago, and there has been a new addition made to this first absolutely extraordinary film that came out. Next up.